The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
James chapter 1 and beginning in verse 22. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd bless the preaching of the word this morning. Lord, help me to bring the word in such a way that it will bring honor to you. Use me as your vessel and instrument in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, mirrors are good things most of the time. Amen? A mirror, that's what James really is referring to. He's using it as an example. Look, if you would, in verse number 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. The word glass there, it's a mirror. And, you know, I thought that... Well, maybe just to add effect to this message this morning, I would get up and I wouldn't go through my usual routine. I'd just put my suit on and I'd come to church. But I didn't want to scare you, all right? So the other day we had a couple of the girls were sleeping over the house. Macy was there and Trinity was there. And I got up the next morning and well, I had been up and the girls were there and I kind of walked down and my I had like on a nightshirt and a pair of, what do you call them? Fleece pair of pants. It was chilly, I guess, that morning. And, you know, I hadn't showered or anything. I was just going for the coffee and, you know, the hair sticking up and all that kind of thing. And the girls looked at me like, I think Trinity, she thought, wow, I never saw the pastor look like that before. Like, I wondered, did she think I got out of bed with a suit on or something like that? So anyhow, I decided that was one of those ideas where you think about it and then just about a minute later, that's probably not a good idea to do that. But we mirrors are a good thing. I remember when Aaron was, Gideon was born. I was thinking about Aaron and Kristen and Maddie because we traveled. I use that as a bit of an example in my Sunday school class. But when Gideon was born, I remember that morning or the morning after kind of looking in the downstairs bathroom window and looking and saying, man, just kind of talking to myself in the mirror, you're a grandfather now. And fortunately, you know, the mirror didn't talk back or I'd be in trouble, but man, you're a grandfather. And that happens. But mirrors, you know, I'm sure all of you this morning, well, maybe not all of you, but most of you, you got up and you looked in the mirror and you kind of fixed yourself up a little bit. And some of you need to fix yourself up a little bit more than others. Oh, I didn't mean that, but you fixed yourself up. And so that's what we do. So I want to preach to you a message this morning about looking in the mirror, because that's what the Word of God is. That's the point here. The Word of God is a mirror. It's a mirror. And I want to challenge you this morning as we look into the mirror of God's Word. So number one is this. Listen. The reflection in the mirror that we see, to really see the reflection as we look into God's Word, because that's what James is saying here. Look again at verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way. Or verse 22. Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When we look into the mirror, and we see the reflection in the mirror, then the Bible tells us that it's so imperative that we be doers and not just hearers of the word only, because if we're not honest, then we begin to deceive ourselves. We look at that reflection and we see in that reflection something that God is pointing out and we don't make application to it, then we deceive ourselves. So it's going to take honesty. And you're going to have to deal with that in an honest way. 1 John 1:8, it says, listen, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So as believers this morning, as we look into the Word of God, and by the way, if you're here and you're not a believer, the point of the Word of God is for the Word of God to reflect back to you that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. But for you and I that are here this morning that have received Christ as our Savior, as we look into that mirror, we've got to take an honest look. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, Ecclesiastes tells us. So all of us, as we walk through this life, as we walk through this world, as day by day, in which each passing moment, there are things that come into our lives that we need to look into that mirror and we need to make those corrections, but that takes honesty. And James, interestingly enough, it points out any number of these things. So let's just quickly take a quick look in this mirror in the book of James. I want you to see some things. Look, for instance, in chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So there are times in your life and my life that we honestly need to go before the Lord, and we honestly need to say, Lord, I really lack wisdom in this particular area, in this particular walk, in this particular circumstance. I lack the wisdom that I need to fulfill your purpose for my life. And probably more times than not, we look in that mirror, we've got to be honest with that. That we lack the wisdom that we need really to get through this life. Or for instance, look what it says in chapter 1 in verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So as we look into the mirror of God's Word, and you and I have succumbed to temptation, we need to be honest about that. We need to see that. That's who we are. That's what's happened. We can't and just be real about it. Or look at what it says in verse number 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. This is, you and I get angry over the silliest things. And we vent and we just explode and say things that we probably should not say and do things that we shouldn't do. Well, listen, the Bible tells us to be careful of that. And when we look into the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit of God, in conjunction, in cooperation with the Word of God, it brings conviction to our heart. That's the mirror. We've got to be honest about that. That I'm an angry person more than I ought to be. So that's the mirror that we look into. Look what it says in chapter 2, in verses 1 through 4. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. If there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit down, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit under my footstool, are ye then not partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? In other words, you look into the mirror, and you ask, am I partial to people? Do I give one group of people or another group of people or this person more respect than another group? Do I treat this person different than I would treat that person? It's partiality. That's not who we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to be. You have to look into the mirror. You've got to see that. That takes honesty. Or look what it says in verse number 8. Look what it says. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. Well, do you? That's the mirror that we look into. Do we love our neighbor as we love ourselves? That's the challenge of God's Word. So you begin to look into this mirror just like you'd look this morning and fix your hair or you do whatever you do. Ladies put on the makeup and all of that kind of stuff. The guys, they shave and all of that. But we look into that mirror. Well, I look into that mirror. Do I need wisdom? Yeah, Lord, I need wisdom. Is there temptation in my life that I'm succumbing to? I've got to be honest that there is, and if that's you. Or if there's an excessive amount of wrath or anger, I've got to be honest. Am I partial to people? Do I love people the way the Lord tells me to love people? We've got to be honest as we look in that mirror. Look at it says in verse 9, he says, "For if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor." Chapter 3, look what he says here. We're not going to go all through chapter 3, but most of you know. Chapter 3 is the great chapter on the tongue. The tongue is an unruly evil that no man can tame. Verse number 8, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. So we look into that mirror, and that mirror we've got to examine. Well, what about my tongue? And am I using my tongue to edify? Am I using my tongue to bring glory to people? Or do I put people down? Or do I say things I shouldn't say? Does filthy communication come out of my mouth? It says in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, that ought not to happen. That our speech should be with grace. And we look into that mirror and we've got to take, look at that mirror and we've got to say, you know, but I'm afraid that sometimes you and I were guilty of, it'd be like me looking in the mirror this morning and just kind of walking away and not doing anything about it. Or we sit under the preaching of the Word of God and God's Spirit begins to convict us about a particular area, maybe one of these that I've mentioned here, or maybe something else, and we're not honest. We're just not honest. Look at verse 14 of chapter number 3. "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Listen, if there's an envy or bitterness and it's exposed as we look into the mirror of God's Word, we have to be honest that that's taking place. Chapter 4, verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Where's your loyalty? Is my loyalty to the Lord? Is my loyalty to the things of the world? Or is there some areas where it's kind of back and forth? We have to be honest as we look in the mirror. Chapter 5, I'm not going to read it, but chapter 5, the first number of verses, has to do with materialism. And so on. And I pointed out, I don't know, half a dozen or so, just different points that James brings that we, whether it's in the book of James or in some other book, we look into that mirror and then we have to be honest about the reflection that we see. And that's not always easy to do because no one likes to have their flaws pointed out. But I would say to you, it's better to have your flaws pointed out by the Spirit of God than by anybody else. Because when the Spirit of God points out those flaws, and the Spirit of God points out those things that we're reflecting, we know it's true. We know it's true. And so that brings me to the second point on the back of the handout. So when we see the reflection, we have to look at it honestly. The recognition of our flaws, that takes humility. We have to be humble about it. Verses 24 and 25 of chapter number 1. Look what it says. 24 and 25. So James says, "For that man who looks into..." let's start again in verse 23. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror," looking at himself. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Well, that's going to take humility. You see, when there's a humility about it, when we realize that, yeah, we are all flawed. We all have areas and problems as we look into the mirror of God's Word that need to be dealt with. But when you don't deal with them, or you refuse to deal with them, then you're not allowing the Lord to deal with them. James chapter 4, look at verses 5 and 6. "Do you think that the Scriptures saith in vain, The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Do you think it's just for nothing that God's word reminds us that there's a spirit, the old man within us, it lusts after envy and worldly things? But then he says this in verse 6. He gives the solution. But listen, he says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. See, when we refuse to recognize our flaws, when we refuse to be humble about it, we then are building a wall between us and the Lord. There's a resistance that God has to working with the proud. The psalmist said, though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. For God, Peter said, resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. You see, pride rejects the recognition of sin. Pride does not want to recognize sin. That's what happens. That's pride. In fact, anytime you reject the principles and the precepts and the doctrines of God, it's sin. And the root often is pride. I'll give you an example. People who deny the doctrine of hell. People who deny the doctrine of hell. It's clear in the Bible that there is a place called hell that unbelievers will end up for all of eternity. But people who deny the doctrine of hell do so more so than not based on their own pride. They just are too proudful to think that they even deserve to go there. And worse than that, they then make God a liar. In Romans chapter 1, dealing with the subject of unnatural desires between men and women, Paul wrote, they change the truth of God into a lie. Well, ladies and gentlemen, anytime someone denies the doctrines of God and says that they just don't think they're true, they then take the truth of God and they turn it into a lie. That's what they do. Oh no, I just don't believe in hell. Well, then you've taken the truth of God and you've turned it into a lie. That's the way it works. Pride rejects the recognition of sin. Pride rejects the punishment for sin. Secondly, pride looks for excuses for sin. Well, this is why I did it. Remember, look, that's not humility, that's pride. James chapter 1 again, look what it says. In verse number 13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. It's his own sin. You can't blame God, you can't blame this person, you can't blame that person. You can only look to yourself, but pride looks for excuses to sin. And in the same verses that I just read, pride often seeks to blame others. It seeks to blame others. But it's all about you. It's not about others. That's the recognition. When we look into the book, into the Bible, and we see the reflection, you're not looking at the reflection of the person next to you or the person down the row from you. You're looking at your reflection. You're looking at yourself. You've got to look at yourself. Forget about this person and that person and this person. Look at yourself. That takes humility. Because really, in the end, pride rejects the Word of God. It rejects the Word of God. And so, we need to recognize in our own lives, we need to recognize the flaws in our life. And we're all full of them. Amen? We're all full of flaws. And it's so easy to say, oh, that person, they're a backslidden Christian, or this person, or that. Just look at your own flaws. Plenty to go around. That takes humility. I like what Matthew Henry said. I put it on the handout for you. He said, we must beware of deceiving ourselves in denying or excusing our sins. The more we see them, the more we shall esteem and value the remedy. See, that's the true heart of humility. You want a remedy. And don't get caught up with, oh, I've been this way my whole life, I just can't change. Well, then you make God a liar. That's what you do, you make God a liar. Because God says that you can, by His grace, with His help, by His power. Don't make God a liar. And we all can be guilty of that. I just can't do this. Well, you can't really, but by God's grace that you can. By God's grace. He giveth more grace. That's what it said. Didn't it say that in verse number 4? Or chapter number 4 and verse number 6? But He, that's the Lord, He giveth more grace. It's the grace of God resting upon our lives. But He giveth grace to the humble. He doesn't give grace to the pride or for the prideful. He giveth grace to the humble. And so, the reflection in the mirror, that takes honesty. The recognition of our flaws, that takes humility. But then the reconciliation of our lives, reconciled into the image of Christ, that's going to take submission. Verse 25 of chapter 1. Verse number 25. Well, let's start in verse 24. For He beholdeth Himself, and He goeth His way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man He was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein. Just like this morning, you looked in the mirror, oh, I've got to do a little over here, and I got to do a little over here. And you'll have to do that again tomorrow, and you'll have to do that again on Tuesday, and you'll have to do that again on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and on Friday, and on Saturday, and next Sunday, and you have to do that every day. Most of us, that's what we do. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. But it's going to take submission unto the Lord. James chapter 4 again, look at it there, and look at verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. It's like this morning, we had to submit ourselves to the comb that was in our hand. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. God doesn't draw nigh to proud people. He doesn't. He's drawn away from them. Have a spirit. We all need a spirit of humility. See, humility, it sees, when we have a spirit of humility, we see our own needs first. And then it causes us to pray for our own needs first. And then we're thankful that God has brought this to our attention. Remember, there we saw there in James chapter number 1, where he's reminding us that when we're tempted not to blame God, but we're also reminded in 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm kind of hitting this several times in the last month and a half. We looked at it on Wednesday night. You remember the verse there that says, thinking of the verse with regards to Satan. I just slipped my mind. Hold on just a second, I'll get it. Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Amen? But I've been kind of then, that's 1 Corinthians chapter, or 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. But then verse 9 says, anybody remember from Bible study? Resist the devil in the what? The faith. Who you resist, no, resist steadfast in the faith. So that takes an honest look of what the Word of God says. It takes a recognition of what's going on in our lives, and then submitting to the Word of God and to the things of God. And the wonderful thing is God gives us His grace to enable us to do what we need to do. Verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Now, I don't think it's that the Bible is teaching us that we should never be joyful and that we should never have laughter, and that we should, because the Bible says the opposite of that in other places. It tells us that we ought to have the joy of the Lord. But when we look in the mirror and we're honest about the reflection, and we're humble about it, then it's a time to be serious. It's a time to think, you know what? I'm here to glorify and to bring honor to the Lord. And this is a serious flaw in my life. And by God's grace, for His honor, for His glory, I want to deal with this. It's not a laughing matter. It's like sometimes that, like I was mentioning before, when we say, people say, well, I've been like this my whole life. I'm never going to change. It's not a laughing matter. No, God says you can get this right. You can have victory. You can have this. You can have what I promised that you can have. But it takes a serious look. It takes a serious look. And then we rob ourselves, which is too bad. We become, as it says, you go back to James chapter 1, I'm almost done. We become like that person who looks in the mirror and then they just walk away. And they forget what manner of man that they are. Well, no, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to forget. God doesn't forget. And so we look into that mirror, and you look into that mirror, and I look into that mirror, and we see sometimes something that we really don't like what we see. And that's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, because then if we're humble about it, God says, listen, I'll give you the grace to change that, to do something about it, to make it right, to make it right. And that's kind of interesting, but James kind of finishes up this section with these two verses. Look what he says in verse 26 and 27. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Kind of brings it back to the tongue. James talks a lot about the tongue. Somebody once said this, that discretion in speech is better than fluency of speech. Better to stumble through your words and not be offensive than to be fluent and to be offensive. And he talks about a religion that can just be, really, it's basically a religion of show. A religion that has no depth to it. In fact, it's vain. He says it's empty. There's nothing to it. Well, those are strong words that he uses. It's kind of like it's people who want to be looked at, or who are more concerned to be seen as religious than they really are. So my challenge to all of us this morning is to look into the mirror every day and just examine what we see as it comes back. Wouldn't it be great if we look into the Word of God, and it does work this way, and we see something that we really, that God reflects back something in our life that we really know is wrong. And so we honestly bring that to the Lord. We confess, I know it's wrong, Lord. I know that You're speaking to my heart about it. I humble myself before You. I seek Your grace humbly to help me. Then, maybe quickly, maybe over a period of time, but isn't it good to be able then to go back another time and look in the mirror, and then the reflection that you see is, wow, God gave me victory over that. God gave me victory over that. And sometimes that happens. It's supposed to happen that way. Because we don't always go to the mirror all the time and see all the flaws. God's a very gracious and encouraging God. God says, listen, you can look in the mirror and I'll give you a victory so that time that you look, you can say, wow, God gave me the victory over that. So that's my challenge for you this morning. Look honestly. Take it honestly. Look humbly and be submissive. Be submissive. And again, if you're here this morning as we finish up, listen, if you're here and you're not sure that you're a Christian, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've looked at some specific things quickly in the book of James this morning. I just pointed out some of these things. No one goes to heaven by being able to stop doing this and start doing this and stop doing this and start doing this. People go to heaven because they receive Christ as their Savior. He died and paid the penalty for all of our sin. So primarily I'm preaching this morning to believers, to people who have accepted Christ as their Savior. But if you're here, understand this, that the Bible points out the reflection that God wants you to see in that mirror is that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. That's what He wants you to see. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus says, I am that Savior. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you'll call out to me by faith, I'll receive you. And you'll become a child of God. So if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, that's the reflection you first need to see. And then as a child of God, the reflection is Christ conforming, you being conformed into the image of Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I challenge you, brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, just to be looking in the mirror. And whatever you see, let God have His perfect work in your life. Let Him mold you. Let Him shape you. Listen, it's really the way it's going to work until God calls you home. And don't get caught up, well, I just can't change that particular part of my image. Well, yes, you can by God's grace, by humbling yourself before God. You can. He desires to give you the victory. And I'm telling you, I don't care what it is, you can look back in that mirror one day and you can say, wow, God gave me the victory over that. So maybe God's spoken to your heart about a particular area, a particular issue, something going on. You just want to spend some time, either at the altar or at the privacy of your seat, just talking to God about it. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, maybe there's one, maybe there's two, I don't know, but maybe there's none. But if you're here and maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and you say, I need to get saved today, preacher. I need to get saved. I saw that reflection. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Would you just lift up your hand, anyone at all? I need to get saved today, preacher. I need to get saved.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.